Would everybody say hi to Paul? All right, now can we extend a standard gateway welcome to Paul?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, please. Please. Thanks. Thank you. It's such an honor to be here, and was here last night. How many of you were here last night? It's a good time, right? God did some amazing things. Like Pastor Tim was just saying, I'll just give a quick introduction about myself. We had met a couple years back at a conference. We connected almost immediately, and we're just reconnected just some time ago. And when he invited me here, I'll be honest with you, my heart was just full. I was glad because I knew that God was doing something between us and connecting us. So it's a privilege and an honor to be here with you all, to spend these 2 days with you all. I'm a third-year ministry school student at Global Awakening. How many of you have heard of Global Awakening before? Yeah. I currently serve as Randy Clark's personal assistant, so I travel with him around, and I handle his schedule and just support him in any way that I can, and it's a great privilege. It's a great honor to do that with him and get to, you know, see the world and just look at what God is doing around the globe. Something that I mentioned yesterday was, you know, sometimes we think that God is moving so powerfully other places in the world outside of the U.S. You know, God is moving powerfully in Latin America or in Africa or in Asia, in different places around the world. But I'm here to tell you that God is moving just as powerfully there as he is here. Amen? Is that exciting to anyone here? That God is not more powerful in Latin America than he is in the U.S. He's not more powerful in Africa than he is here in the U.S., that he is moving powerfully and getting to see what the body of Christ is doing is walking into their identity, stepping into it in the fullness of what he has set out in front of each and every single one of you. So I worked at Dell Computers. I was a regional manager there for about 5 years when I felt like the Lord was calling me to go to ministry school, so I said, you know, I'll go, I'll obey, you know, your guidance, because clearly you know more about my life than I do. I mean, that's a good start. So I said, God, you know, I'll use all my vacation time and everything that I have, and I'll go to this 3-week course and go to this ministry school. So I was trying to do both. I was trying to continue working and try to do them both at the same time. But God tricked me. So I did the 3 weeks, and you know, I just sensed it, just a disturbance in my heart, in my spirit, where the Lord was drawing me and calling me to continue into going. And so that required, through a series of signs and confirmations that the Lord has given me. He'll give you, if it's something major in life, then he'll give you some confirmations. He'll give you some he'll create that faith in your heart. So I turned my career and everything that I had poured in for over 5 years and my schooling and everything. My whole life was poured into this career, and yet in an instant it was gone. It was the easiest thing and the most difficult thing all at the same time that I've ever done. It sounds funny, but it's the most difficult because you're considering, oh my God, am I wasting my life? Like, what am I doing? I've invested everything. And at the same token, on the flip side of that, it's like, it's God knows he created you, and he created you with a specific destiny and a purpose, and who other to fulfill that than the one that designed it over your life, right? If he's the one that designed it, who am I to argue with him? He knows better, right? So I obeyed him, and clearly God knew what he was doing. So, and I'm so privileged, I'm so honored to be able to be used by the Lord. And, you know, you'll have great responsibility naturally in life. You know, the harder you work and, you know, you get promoted and you excel in careers and you'll have greater responsibility. That's natural. But you'll never have a greater honor than to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no greater honor ever. And it's not just serving him behind a pulpit, but serving him in every capacity that we can. And the way that that you care for your kids and the way that you are in your environment, at your workplace, whatever it is, you can serve and honor him into that way and into that capacity. So and it's been a wild ride. You know, one of the things is that sometimes we feel like when we obey God, things are supposed to be clear sailing, like smooth sailing. You know, it doesn't work like that. And many people, you know, there's many people that, if you look at even the life of Gideon, how when he's walking out this destiny that God has spoken over him, that he encountered a lot of these things. And it's like when there's pushback, we often think, is this what God has called me to do? Is this what he destined or purposed over my life? And the truth is that in the midst of that, in the face of that, you're to press on and to continue in the midst of that adversity, whatever it may be. Sometimes that adversity is a sign that you're on the right track, right? Amen. So I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to just share with you some things that are on my heart. And you know, the conference name or the theme is Awakened. And there's certain truths and realities in walking in your kingdom identity and what God has declared over your life that we need to step into, that we need to be awakened to, that we need to have ignited, that we need to have revealed. And what I want to do is I just want to speak into those things. You know, I lead an international service that we have at my home church back in D.C. So whenever I'm not traveling, I'm back there. So there is that when people would often come for counseling and would come dealing with, you know, different various things that are going on in their life. And I used to focus and hone in, okay, this is what's wrong. This is what you're doing. That's wrong. This, and just hone in on that. But the Lord is just teaching me that I'm to speak into that thing, to speak into that identity of that person that God has called them to be. And as I call that destiny out of who they are actually created in Christ, that begins to manifest. Amen. Whatever's going on in their life, you're speaking to that thing that which God has spoken over their lives, and which by there's an agreement and a release of faith in that person's heart that causes them to walk out in what God has called in their lives. Yeah? It's a wonderful thing. And just really quickly, I just want to honor my two good friends here from my local church, Nathaniel and Samuel. If you guys can stand up real quick, very biblical names. Yeah, bless you. Nathaniel is a very anointed worship leader, very, very anointed, very gifted, can lead people into the presence by the grace of God. And Samuel is one of our speakers, one of our regular rotation of speaking there, that we have an excellent gifted writer, writes these phenomenal devotionals, and it's just a privilege and honor to have you two guys here with me. It's a blessing, so amen. So, walking in this God-given identity, you know, your actions precede your identity of who you are, right? Your actions in life go from the place of your thinking of who you are and who you think you are. Now, an electrician would do electrical work, right? If a pilot would fly a plane, right? A plumber would do plumbing work. It's like from your identity proceeds actions from that place. And it's not, many will look at changing behavior. And I don't think the focus of the scripture is changing your behavior. It's changing your thinking and your belief, whereby that changes your behavior in life, right? Because if you try to work from the outside in, changing behavior, I mean, it's just not going to work. So it's having this truth and this understanding of who you are and who God has called you to be. And from that place, it's walking out and fulfilling who God has called you to be. Amen? Hallelujah. I love the Lord so much. How many of you love Jesus? Yes, you know, you have permission to be radically loved by him and to love him back. Oh, it's amazing. He's so good. Yeah? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the word of wisdom, and we thank you for the word of revelation, Lord. I pray that this place, God, be a chamber of revelation, God, where people would not where we wouldn't just collect more information and knowledge, God, but that we would have this transforming revelation from you, God, that impacts our thinking, impacts our life, impacts the way that we walk and the way that we talk, Lord. So I thank you, and I just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to even increase more in this room, increase upon hearts, increase upon minds. And we just say, come, Holy Spirit, and manifest yourself today at even greater degree, Lord. So we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if we realized who God called us to be, we would never want to be anyone else. If you realize who God has called you to be and what he has spoken over your life in that place of identity, you would never want to be anyone else, right? It's those people that walk in their identity, the true identity of who God calls them to be, when it's been awakened to them, that they walk in this place where, hey, you know what? That person knows who they are, and there's something that's very attractive about that. There's something that's very drawing to that person that, okay, this person knows who they are in Christ and who he's called them to be. So I had a dream some time back. This was several years ago, in which I had a name badge on that just, you know, obviously had my name on because it's a name badge, right? So I had that on, and I walk into this room, and someone walks up. They snatch the name badge off my chest, and they go and they walk in. I see them walking off, and they go into a door, and then I go chasing after them. And in that dream, I go into several different doors, and I'm looking for this person that stole my name badge. And each one of the doors symbolized a different aspect of my life in which I was cultivating, in which I had attached my identity to who I was. So in each one of these doors, I would open it, and it would be like my career. It would be like my ministry duties at where I serve at in my church. It would be different things in every door. And I woke up in that dream in a panic, like, oh my goodness, I don't know who I am. It's frightful when you think you know who you are and you realize you don't know who you are. So it led me into this place of really searching out and pursuing this place of knowing who I am. And there's a few things that I want to draw from that today. There's many things. You know, identity is like an onion peel that you can just keep peeling. There's more, and there's more. There's so much depth to it. But there's some core things, a few core things that I want to draw today from the scripture, and then just go into that, and then we can go from there. How does that sound? Sound good? All right. So what I want to start at is I want to start at Matthew 16. I want to read from Matthew 16, and we can start from there and go on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Verse 14. "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." So you see here, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he's saying, who do people say that I am? And when you read that, it's Jesus is not fishing for a compliment. Jesus is not having like a bad hair day, and he's like, okay, how do I look? You know, that's not what the case is. He's not fishing for a compliment in this place. Is what he's presenting to his disciples is he is asking this question of identity. Who do people say that I am? And it's funny because you go throughout life and everyone has a different opinion of who Jesus is. Just because people believe that Jesus is going to return doesn't mean that they have a faith or believe in Jesus and who he says he is, right? You can look at that even through different things that are going on right now with even ISIS. They believe that Jesus is returning, but it's for different reasons. So when we look at this, he's asking for this place of identity. Who do people say that I am? And he wants to get it clear to his disciples, even though they had walked with him for much time up to that point, he's still asking them, who do people say that I am? So just because someone has walked with Jesus for some time doesn't mean they truly know who he is. Amen? All right. And then verse 15. It says, but what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter says, you are the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this, everyone say this. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. Everyone say flesh and blood. But by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. Say Peter. And on this rock, everyone say this rock, I will build my church in the gates of Hades. Will not overcome it. This is marvelous. This is marvelous. This is a wonderful interaction between Jesus and his disciples in declaring the truth of who Jesus is. And in that same place of declaring the truth of who his disciples are, who we are. All right? So he says, who do people say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? Because that's fine. People out there can say whatever they want. But what matters is, at the heart of it, is who do you say that Jesus is? And Peter does, is Jesus as the one prophesied, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was spoken of in the Old Testament. He is the fulfillment. He is the one that was to come, the Messiah. This is what Peter says. And he says that it's not by flesh, it's not by blood that you have received this, but by my Father in heaven. He's saying, Peter, it's not by reading books, it's not by listening to what people have said, it's by my Father in heaven, which by you have received this revelation in your heart of who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Amen. Just because people are theologians and they can recite scripture from Genesis to Revelation doesn't mean they know who Jesus is. It's by revelation. It's by the Spirit of God, in which by the Spirit of God blows upon this words of scripture and causes it to become alive in us, knowing who Jesus Christ is. He's saying, Peter, it's not by flesh and blood, but it's by my Father in heaven who has revealed this revelation of who I am to you. Amen? And then he says, you are Peter. Say Peter. It's funny because his name is Simon. His name is Simon. He's saying, you are Peter. He says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus says, okay. He said, you're Peter, right? He tells him, you're Peter. And when we look at the understanding of what that word means, it's Petros. And it means a small piece of a larger rock. Everyone say small piece. Of a larger rock. So he's saying that you're Peter. His name is Simon. He's calling him Peter. He's saying, you're Peter. You're a small piece of a larger rock. Right? And he's saying, you're Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. This rock, this word rock is translated in the Greek as Petra. Everyone say Petra. It means a large rock, a large mountain like Mount Kilimanjaro or Gibraltar. This massive rock, he's saying, you are Peter. You are a small rock that's detached from a large piece of the rock, and I'm the rock. I'm the large mountain of rock that you have detached, that you are a part of. And so what he's explaining to Peter is he's saying that, hey, Peter, you're the small rock, but I'm the large rock, but you are a part of this. You are a part of who I am. Are you all following with me? Amen. It's that Christ is the big rock and we're the little rocks. It's whereby we gain our identity. We receive our identity from who the large rock is, who the big rock is, who he is. And he's saying that you are a small piece of the rock, small detached piece of the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. On this understanding of identity, of who you are, that if your identity is found in anything other than that of Jesus Christ, the identity is built on a lie. It's a false identity. And so causes you to have false thinking and basing structures and making decisions based upon false things in your life. If your identity is based on anything other than that of Jesus Christ, you will know the truth in the what? The truth will... That word truth means reality. That you will know the reality, and that reality which is spoken of through Jesus Christ, that reality will set you free. So many people are living in a virtual reality where things seem real and things feel real and they're not real. And God is saying that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth, the reality of who you are, the reality of what God has spoken over your life and who he has called you to be. It's in that place that you can make decisions, that you can live out life based upon truth. Amen? It's based upon this place that we base our identities in who Jesus is, the rock, and who we are. We are a part of, a detached piece of that larger rock. Amen? Amen. I want to look at a few points here and just look at things that we can be awakened to, that we can be ignited to, things that we can be revived to in our identity of who God calls us to be. There are five things that I have here for you, and I just want them to penetrate your heart. Don't let them be just scripture that is just read again, but open up your heart and agree with God. Just agree with what he says over your life. Amen? One of the things is that we need to be awakened to the great love that he has for us. To be awakened to the great love that he has for us. Many people take love and they say, oh, hey, you know, it's just, yeah, I know God loves me. You know, God is love. God loves me. And it's like, really? You don't look like you understand that. It doesn't seem like it. You know, a person that has been impacted by the love of God is a person that is transformed at the very core. That you being rooted and established in love, that love of God is the root system that goes into the soil, that keeps you in place in the face of storms that come across in life, in the face of opposition, in the place of challenges and hardship, whatever it may be. That love, that root system that goes into the ground is that of his great and amazing love. Amen. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Now abide in my love. We can read through that and say, yeah, as the Father loves me, you know, as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. But do we understand the implications of this verse? It's saying that as the Father, Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me with this radical divine love, in that same intensity, in that same power, in that same devotion that the Father has loved me, that I love you in that same exact way. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing when you think of it that way. that he's saying, as the Father has loved me, I love you in that same intensity, in that same flow. And he's saying, now because you know that, it doesn't mean you check that off on your list and you got the door. He's saying, now abide in that. Abide in that. Meditate in that. Let your heart be saturated in it. Let that consume your mind. Let that overtake your thought system. Let that overtake your thoughts before you go to bed. I try not to ever go to bed at night, closing my eyes, going to sleep without just being connected to the love of God, saying, God, thank you for your love. And I'm just worshiping him as I'm going to sleep, just so that his love will just move. I'm just marinated and I don't wake up feeling loved in the morning. Just let him saturate you with his love. It's amazing. It's an everlasting love, from everlasting to everlasting, that his love is eternal. It continues on, that there's no limit, there's no max on the greatness of his love that he has for each and every single one of you. Amen. This is great. 1 John 4:18-19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment or punishment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. You know that you didn't have a say in this? He picked you first. That there's no decision on your end whether or not that he has decided to love you or not. It didn't require a response from you to love him back. So let me ask you this. If it didn't take a response for him to love you back, if he said, I chose to love you first, how can you do anything to diminish his love for you? If he's made that decision for you before you made it for him, it says, while we were dead and sinners, that he died for us, demonstrating his love in Romans. Right? Well, we were dead and we had no options and nothing we can offer him. And it's in that place he's saying, okay, you have nothing to offer me. I love you now. I love you in that place. And there's no more striving. There's no more searching. There's no more trying to earn his love, to merit it. We live in a merit-based system from the time even being 5 years old, you know, starting in sports. It's a merit-based. Who can be the best? You know, you go to school. It's like, how good of grades can you bring home? I mean, it's a merit-based system that we live in. So we feel like we have to do something to earn this love. And God is saying that you don't earn his love. You receive his love. Amen? That you just receive it. It's like a Christmas morning with a small child. You give this child this amazing, huge gift, and they open it up, and they're like, does this thing come with batteries or not? Right? What happens when we get a little bit older? You get this great big gift, and they're like, oh, no, you shouldn't have. Yeah, I don't deserve this. No, there's no, hey, no. And then you do receive it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I got to get him a big gift next year. You know, it's like we live in this merit, and God is saying there's no merit-based system in this, that I have made my decision, and I love you madly. That's his decision over you, amen? It's his decision. It's received, not achieved. You know, a friend of mine was telling me this story about how, you know, growing up, he had a good dad. His dad was good, but you know, he remembers struggling in school and having a difficult time in his classes and not bringing home the grades that he should have, and it was tough, and he said, you know what, I'm gonna make my dad proud. I'm gonna do all my homework, and I'm gonna try as hard as I can to do good in school. And he does everything that he can, and he was getting D's and F's, and He brings home a C. He's like, yes, I'm going to give this to Dad. He's going to be so excited. I've been bringing home D's and F's. Now I got a C, and this is what I've really tried hard for. And he says he comes home, and he opens his report card proudly, and then he lays it on the table, and his dad opens it, and then he looks at the report card, and he's saying, wow, you couldn't get a B or C? Or a B. And so what's happening is that he created, what's being done is like a merit-based thing, a never enough type thing is being done. So he says, okay, I'm going to try harder this time. I'm going to study even harder. I'm going to make dad proud this time. That C wasn't enough to make him proud. So I'm really going to press into my studying. I'm really going to do harder this time and show dad that I'm smart. Okay, so he goes back, and this time he gets his report card, and it says he gets a B now, right? So he gets a B, and he's all, yeah, and he's excited. He's like, Dad, look what I brought home. He said, I brought home a B. This is awesome. This is what you told me that would be enough. And his dad looks at it, and he's like, you couldn't get an A? And he's just like, oh, he's just destroyed. And his dad is not, he wasn't an abusive or a mean-spirited person. He was a loving dad, but what was created in him was this merit-based, is this never enough? And sometimes when we go and approach God, it's like, it's never enough. We can never do enough to earn his love. And God is saying, you can never do anything to earn my love. All you do is you receive it. Amen? You just receive it and say, yes, God, I love you. Oh, hallelujah. We can never do anything to earn it. Can never do anything to lose it. How about that? Even if you decide to turn your back on him tomorrow, he's still going to love you. How about that? Yeah. Hallelujah. He's amazing. Some time back, I was at a women's shelter, and we do oftentimes just as a corporate body, we go out and we do these outreaches in various places in D.C. And in this place of just reaching out to the community, first of all, outreach should not be relegated to a day. It should be a way of life. Amen? That Jesus' life was a massive outreach. So life was an outreach. He didn't say, okay, today's every other Wednesday, so I guess today's outreach day. No, it's his life that he lived. So on this particular time, we did a corporate outreach, and we were together at this women's shelter, and just getting a chance to connect with some of the women. We serve them lunch, and we pray with them and just love on them. And this particular woman that was sitting down, she just looked broken hearted. I mean, she just looked broken. I was just talking to her. And then she explains to me that she has a master's degree, and she used to be a professor at Maryland University, you know, a big school, Maryland. And there was a course of things that happened in her life that caused her to lose footing in her life. And she was sitting there, and her eyesight had been deteriorated to where she was almost blind. And she had this cane right next to her that she used to walk with. And I began to speak to her, and I would say about 4 or 5 minutes into the conversation, that something switched. Something switched in my heart. She's saying the same things, but as she's speaking, my heart begins to melt. It begins to turn into mush. I'm like, oh my gosh, this woman, I love her so much. I love her as a mother. I would even give my life for this. And these things are just gushing. I'm not saying it to her. I mean, that would sound kind of creepy if I said, I'll give my life for you. But my heart is melting for this woman. And right at that point, I realize, I discern that I am sensing God's love for this woman. Just for a second, just for a split second, I sense the love of God for this woman, and I'm ready to die for her right there. My heart is just oozing. It's just mush. I'm weeping. And she's thinking I'm a weirdo, but it's like, oh my gosh. I'm sensing this love that he has just for this one, just this one out of billions of people, for this one person, this love that he has for her. I say, hey, do you have any needs? Is there anything God could do for you in your life? She said, yes. She said, my eyesight, it's bad. It's been deteriorating for years, and it's still deteriorating. Unless something happens, I'm going to go blind. So then I put my hands on her eyes to say, in Jesus' name, I command these eyes to open now. I command them to be focused in all eye deterioration, to leave in Jesus' name. I pray for 2 or 3 times, and I hand her something. I say, go read. Can you read this? Has there been improvement? And she starts reading, and her eyes get bugged out. She's like, oh my gosh, I can read, I can read, I can read. And she's making a scene, and she's starting to weep now. And that's when I notice that she has a cane right next to her. I say, what's wrong with your knee? She says, I have to have this cane in order to walk. Everywhere that I walk, I have to have this cane because it's so painful to walk. right? And I have my niece with me. She was 7 years old at the time, and her name is Grace. How about that, right? Grace of God. So she's 7 years old, right? And I tell her, I say, Grace, go put your hands on her knees. And she's like, all right. I said, command those knees to be healed. And she's like, I command these knees in Jesus' name to be healed. And no more than she said, in Jesus' name, the woman goes, I feel the fire of God on my knees. The fire of God is on my knees right now. And her knees are sweltering hot. She stands up, she throws a cane to the side, and she begins walking, pacing up and down the whole place. The power of God touched this woman. And if we can see just for a moment this amazing, radical love that God has for each and every single one of us, even for a split second, that we walk with this awareness of his love. He's saying, abide in this love. Let this love saturate your heart. Let it permeate every thought in your thinking, your thought process. Let it just overwhelm you that it is perfectly okay to be lovesick. You know, lovers can get more done than servants, right? Servant, you tell them to do this, and they just do enough to get the job done. But someone that's lovesick, they will pour their heart out for you. Am I right? He's looking for servants, but he's looking for people that are lovesick. Where that work, that service is nothing. You just want to live to adore him and just to dwell in his great and amazing love. Hallelujah. I was in Barnes and Nobles. I was getting some coffee. Something about, for me at least, something about sitting around a lot of books that makes me feel really smart. I don't know if you guys get that. I just sit down. Yeah, right? Yeah, go grab some magazines, right? Feel smart, grab some Sports Illustrated or whatever. But sitting in that place, I see this gentleman that works there, and I just feel like I'm just supposed to go up there and greet him and just like share a word that I had, just a prophetic word about his life. So, I was like, God, is this you? Is it not? So I'm like chasing this guy around the place, looking like a weirdo, just like around the corner. Where is he at now? So I finally cut him off. So we cut him off right by the exit, and I said, hey. Do you mind if I share a word for you from God? He's like, yeah, go ahead. So I said, and then I start speaking into this guy's life, right? And he has just this blank stare at me. And then finally, I'm like, well, how did those words sit with you? He's like, they're all exactly right. Everything that you said is absolutely right. I said, yeah, well, I just want to declare the love of God over your life, that he loves you so much, that he's loved you so much to even reveal, use one of his servants to come to you and share his love. And then he says, why me? Out of all these people in this place, why did you choose me? Why me? And this guy gets offended. His face turns red, and he is completely offended. I'm thinking he's about to take a swing at me. I'm like, oh, I better get ready. He's just so mad, and it's like he is offended. See, this radical and amazing God, love of God is enough to even offend people at the core. It's offensive. Because somewhere inside of us, we want to do something to earn. We want to do something to merit. And this guy has done nothing. He's probably even cursed God out. He doesn't even believe in God. And yet, God revealed the mysteries of his heart. He testifies there to Jesus, declares the love, and he says, this love is too much for me. That this love that's too much, he's called you to receive. Can't receive it, you just achieve it. I'm sorry, you can't achieve it. Just don't listen to the first one. You just receive it, right? I got to earn this love. No, don't do that. No, that's what we don't want. All right? You all with me? Okay. The other aspect is being awakened to your great value in Christ. Being awakened to the great value that you have in Christ. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Everyone say ransom. Ransom for many. See, your value is not based upon your accomplishments and your achievements in life. You know, you ask someone, where their value is at. They're like, well, you know, I have a degree from such and such, and I have this position at my job. And all those stuff, those things are great. You know, you've worked hard to achieve those. But those things should not be the things that give you value in your life, right? That's how you have in the stock market crash, where markets crash and people jump out of roofs. Because why? Their value was based upon something that's changeable. But when your value system is based on that which God spoke of you, that is a solid rock, the best investment. Right? So the value system based upon what he has said over you. You know, you look at value based upon what someone is willing to pay for something. Just because I take something and I give it a marked up price in which people are not willing to pay, doesn't mean that it's valuable. What speaks of value is what someone is willing to pay for that. You know, one of my first cars was a 1980 Honda Civic hatchback. It didn't have a bumper. It didn't have air condition. So, and it used to overheat a lot. And apparently, one of the tricks in an older car is that when it overheats, you're supposed to turn the heat on in the middle of summer, like a sauna, like dripping sweat, clothes soaked, seat soaked, lose like 5 pounds of water weight every trip I make. Oh, man. The good old days, not really, but so that car, I paid under $500 for it, a few hundred bucks for it. Why? Because it didn't have a great value to it. Now you look at your value based upon what God was willing to pay for you, and he paid with his son. He paid with Jesus. Amen. He paid with Jesus. The awesome exchange, the exchange made at the cross. His life for yours. That value should be built inside of you. You know, there's something that happens with people that are aware of the value that they carry in life. You know, they don't have to go around telling people, hey, I'm valuable. Hey, I'm an important people. You can just, you can discern it. You can know. There's something that people give off when they understand the value that they have as a person. I'm not talking about arrogance, because that doesn't solve anything. There's something about someone that walks with this awareness, with this value that they have in them, that demands respect and honor from everyone around them without having to say it. You create this atmosphere. You create this environment around you. I had a friend in college, and his, used to go in his apartment, and there's just trash everywhere. Just like, you know, chips and cans and this and clothes, everything. So what happens when you go over his house? You know, I go over his house and I go sit on the couch and, you know, finish my chips, throw it on the floor, finish my Coke, throw that on the floor. I want to take my jacket off, just go. Because that's the environment that he's created around his house. In that same way, I guarantee you that same person that lives that way, when he comes to my house, he won't be doing that. Everything is in order, everything is in place, and there is an environment, there's an atmosphere that's been created, right? So as you create, as this, you let this value overwhelm you and the person that you are, you create a value around you by which demands respect from those that are around you. And it's not going to be found in your press. Hey, do you know how many people I manage? Hey, do you know how big my house is? Do you see how nice my car? It's not about that. It's arrogance. Amen? Yes. Value. We have to know our value. Know this great value that we have in him. You'll find value somewhere. If you don't find it in Christ, you'll find it somewhere else. It's guaranteed. Right? Even if it comes from, you know, sources that devalue you in your attempt to find value. Number three is be awakened to the fact you are complete in Christ. That you are complete in Christ. Say complete in Christ. To be complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Say fullness. Fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. The Amplified says, and you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life. And it says, in Christ you are too. Are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Godhead. John 1:16, and of his fullness, say fullness, we have all received grace for grace. It's in his fullness and in his completeness that we find our completeness. For such a long time, I was striving and finding completeness in maybe if I get this raise, or maybe if I make this amount of money, or maybe if I get this promotion, and all these benchmarks that I set for myself, I would hit every single one of them. And the fact is, the higher I got up, the more empty I felt and the more discouraged and miserable I was, because the things that I had thought would bring me completeness in my life were actually like they were draining me. So you find this completeness in who Christ is and who he says that you are. That it is in him that you find true fullness. Say fullness. It's in him that you find your fullness. The fullness of his love, the fullness of his character, the fullness of his great and amazing love that he has for each and every single one of us. Yeah, his fullness. Number four is be awakened to the choice that's been made over your life. He's made a decision over you, right? Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say, blessed us. Say, it says he has blessed us, okay? He has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us. Say, chose us. In him. See, that's the key. He chose us in him. He didn't choose you for you or how great your smile is or what you have to offer. He didn't choose you for any of that. I tell you right now that God is not impressed with you. He's impressed with Jesus. Come on, that's a good word. He's not impressed by what you can offer him, what you can work up. He's not impressed by any of that. Who he's impressed with is that of Jesus Christ. And he's saying that he's chosen you in him. That you have been placed in Christ, that he's chosen you in Christ. Yeah? He's made this choice. He's made this decision over you. That everyone loves to be chosen, right? Everyone wants to be the chosen one. Playing sports growing up, you know, the last thing you wanted, please don't let me be the last person selected. Oh, man, don't. Oh, I am. And it's like, when you're the last one, they don't even look at you. They're like, yeah, you know, whatever. You're just, that's the worst feeling ever, right? Everyone picks a team. This is one guy. And it's like, okay, we pick you. And then you're just like, there's something about being chosen, right? Love's a choice. Love is a decision. That he doesn't love you because he has to. He loves you because he wants to. Right? It's a decision that he's made from your heart, not based upon the things that you have done. And when you let that saturate your heart, and when you let that understanding just sit deeply within you, knowing the fact that you have been chosen. Say, I'm chosen. Say, I'm chosen. He's chosen you, right? Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Say adoption. Adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption. I have a friend that recently, not recently, but about a year and a half ago, his daughter went through this adoption process with this child from Ethiopia. And I'm from Ethiopia. I wasn't adopted by them, but I'm just, you know. Anyhow, so this adoption process is 100% intentional. How many of you understand that? This adoption process is intentional. It took over 3 years to complete and over $30,000 to do. I'm not saying that's a standard. This is what it cost this family to do. Do you know that there's a price for this adoption? The price was the blood of Jesus. That there was a distance traveled. They had to travel back and forth to do this, back and forth to Ethiopia a couple of times as a family. That distance is a long, it's about a 16-hour flight. God came a long way to send his son, Jesus Christ, for you. He came a long way. He traveled a long way for you. And that adoption is 100% intentional. That's not an accident. He knew what he was getting into when he chose you. There's no surprise. There's no, oh, I didn't know about that. Yeah, I want my money back. No, it's none of that that went on. That's 100% intentional, 100% decision. But that not only are you born again, but you're adopted. You're his twice over again. Right? It wasn't enough for him just to adopt you, but it was he wanted to have you born into him and also be adopted twice over again. Amen? That's how much he wanted you. That's how bad he wanted you. I want you twice over. Not only do I want you born again, but I want to adopt you too. I want you to know that I really, really, really want you. Yeah? Really want you. And then five is be awakened to your acceptance in Christ. Romans 5:15-7. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you so that God will be given glory. You are accepted in him. If God has accepted you, who can reject you? Right? If God has accepted you, who can reject you? He's accepted you. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted in what? In what we do and how we do things and how we serve him and what we have to offer to him. No, he says he has accepted you in the beloved. That your acceptance is based upon the Father's acceptance of Jesus Christ as the beloved. That you are accepted not based upon you, but based upon Jesus. That there's that acceptance. That people search for acceptance in the way they have their conversations, in the way that they conduct their lives, desiring, wanting to be accepted by those that are around them. You can just sense it in some conversations. People just they have a resume they want to give to you to say, okay, this is what I'm all about. You know, do you accept me? And God is saying that, hey, look, I've accepted you. If you can live with that awareness that he has accepted you, he has accepted you. Say, he has accepted me. He has accepted you in the beloved. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised. That it's not something to be lightly. You know the scriptures in your mind, but do you know them in your heart? You want to change behavior to change thinking. Change believing about who God says you are. Hallelujah. I'm going to have Nathan come and sing a song over you. And I just want everyone to just stand up where you're at. I believe that God is going to begin to move upon your hearts in this place. And he's going to bring a greater revelation, a greater understanding of who he has called you to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. Just stand up where you're at right now. Have your heart's position. Don't lose attention. Don't get distracted. Just fix your heart upon him right now. And just as even Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. Right? He said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, and you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. Jesus said, you told me who I am. Now let me tell you who you are. Many of us here are in that place of saying, okay, God, I can tell you who you are. I can tell you what you mean to me. But now, God, I need you. I need to receive your word to reveal to me who I am. It's not flesh and blood. It's not about the scriptures that you've memorized. It's not about any of that. It's about opening your heart and saying, God, I want you to tell me. Whisper upon my heart. Whisper upon my heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to thank him and to worship him right now. Just begin to thank him for who he says you are. There's certain elements, there's certain things that God is highlighting. He's bringing to remembrance in your life. I see that there's some folks that had some trouble growing up with maybe it was that kind of like my friend that brought the report card home and it was never enough. It was never enough. And we've encountered this thing with God where we feel like it's never, I can never do enough for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, God. Just open your heart right now. Sometimes in intimacy, we get uncomfortable when God begins to move. We don't know what to do, what to act, and just receive from him right now. This atmosphere of love is the one which you have been created for right now. Thank you, God.
Love is like a storm.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Just let him move upon you. Put your hand on your heart right now. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord has spoken to some people today, and I feel like I should just open up the front, open up this altar for those that want to come to the front and let just be sang over. Just to let him overwhelm you with his love. Lord is dealing with many hearts. He's releasing love and acceptance and the fact that he's chosen you. Amen. If that's you, I just invite you to come up to the front. Just come up to the front and begin to worship. Just begin to worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God, thank you. That there's no hype. I'm not trying to work anything up. If that's you, you know who you are. I just ask you to be real with God and be real with yourself. If he's moving on you right now and you sense that, just come and just begin to, just as a declaration of God, this is serious, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let the love of God fill every crack, fill every place where you feel like there's a void. Just let him fill that right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
You stole in my heart. You stole in my heart.
Yes, God, thank you, Lord.
You stole in my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
You stole in my heart. Oh, I'm not satisfied, though my heart is glad. I want more.
Yes, God, we welcome you, Lord, to increase.
I'm not
increase.
Satisfied.
Increase upon the hearts.
My heart is glad. I want more of you.
Yes, God.
As you stole in my heart.
Yes, God. Yes, Lord.
Oh, you stole in my heart.
Yes, God.
You stole in my heart. You stole in my heart. With this life, oh, every breath I take, oh, I will love you.
Yes, God.
With this life, oh, every breath I take, oh, I will love you.
Thank you.
Yes, God. With this life,
thank you.
Oh, every breath I take, oh, I will love you. With this life, oh, every breath I take, I will love you. I will love you. Oh, I will love you.
Yes, God.
Oh, I will love you. Oh, with this life, oh, every breath I take.
Yes, God.
Oh, I will love you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
With this life, every breath I take, I will love you. I will love you. You stole in my heart.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
You stole in my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
You stole in my heart.
Over some of you, he's speaking his acceptance right now. You feel like you're the only one in life walking this through alone. And I feel like God is saying, just tell them I am with them. That he is with you. That he has not left you. And he's really dealing with loneliness right now. There's some in here that have felt really, really alone. And God is saying, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, God.
Love is crashing over me, surging like a raging sea. Verse me in the wonder of your love.
Just let him move over your heart right now.
A downpour of unending grace, consuming all my reckless ways. My sin submerged, your love has saved my soul.
Oh,
your love is like a storm.
Just let him move over your heart right now.
Your love is like a storm. Cause your love is crashing over me, surging like a raging sea. Immerse me in the wonder of your love. A downpour of unending grace, consuming all my reckless ways.
Yes, God.
My sins immerse your love has saved.
Let him overwhelm you with his love right now.
Love is like a storm.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Surround me like an ocean. surround me like an ocean. Your love is like a storm.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I feel like there may be a few folks in here that have not accepted Jesus. You've maybe been to the services, you may have sang some of the songs, but you haven't made that decision. And I feel like the Lord is knocking at the door of your heart right now. And he's asking, will you let me in? If that's you and you haven't made that decision in your life, if you haven't made that decision, I just want to ask you to put your hand up as our eyes are closed. Just put your hand up and I want to say a prayer with you. Just have you say it from your heart. If that's you, I'll just give you a moment. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, I'll give you another moment. Just put your hand up and I want to pray with you. Thank you, God. I feel like there may be some that need to, that want to rededicate their lives to the Lord, that maybe along the way, along the walk, you've been sidetracked and you feel like you just need to rededicate your life and say, yes, God, I need to rededicate my life to you and give it wholeheartedly over to you as I did once. If that's you, I want you to put your hand up and I'm going to say a prayer with you. If that's you, if you want to rededicate yourself to him, rededicate your life. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just let him move upon your hearts right now. God, thank you. God, I just thank you for these ones that have, that are making that rededication commitment, Lord. That just they rededicate their lives to you, God. That everything that has happened, God, may it be covered up, removed, God, destroyed by your love, God. I just declare your love over their lives. I declare your love and your goodness over them, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That this day forward, may they move with that unwavering. I just declare over you that as you walk, that you will grow stronger and stronger. As others grow weaker, you would grow stronger, committed wholeheartedly to him and who he says you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I am running after you.
Thank you.
I am running fast to you. I am running.
Thank you, Lord.
I am running.
Thank you, God.
I am running after you. I am running fast to you. I am running.
God, I just, for time's sake, I'm going to pray and dismiss, but Nathaniel's going to play just for a little bit longer if there's some that just want to soak, if that's okay with you, Pastor Tim, if they could just, there's a sweet presence in the room, and I don't want to disrupt, I don't want to, you know, I understand we have things and things that we have to do, so I want to pray and wrap this up, but he's going to play for a little bit longer. If you just want to sit in the presence, or if you want if you want me to pray and minister to you, I can do that as well. So God, I thank you for these ones here. I just, I thank you for this time of you coming and moving upon our hearts, God, of revealing our true identity of who you are, who you say we are, God. And may who you say we are in the face of everything that contradicts be crushed, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just declared blessing over them in the name of Jesus. They're coming in, they're going out over their bodies, God. I declare kingdom wholeness and health from the top of their head to the soles of their feet and restoration for relationships, God. I declare blessing over finances, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Definitely, yeah.